This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
Facebook's Oculus Rift is ready for a reality check. However, it does have a few tricks up its sleeve. More coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And it's been 6 months since the much-anticipated launch of Facebook's Oculus Rift virtual reality goggles. And the unit is facing some growing pains, shall we say. Developers have met up this week trying to find what path is to be taken next. It's still trying to find that one game or app that could go mainstream, thus finally broadening its appeal to the mainstream masses. Let's get the current state of affairs. Joining us now is Deepa Seetharaman. She is a tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal and joins us on the line right now. Hi, Deepa.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. So the Oculus Rift is, you know, it's obviously one of the most buzzed about devices in the virtual reality world. Much anticipated. It's been an interesting saga, though, because right out the launch, it was a little bit rocky. Why didn't the launch in itself go better than planned?
There are a couple of different reasons for that, and you could put them into different buckets. One is shipping delays and delays in general in launching the Rift. Initially, Palmer Luckey said that if the product wasn't released by the end of 2015, something really went wrong. And then they pushed it back to the first quarter of 2016, and then it really only launched to regular customers in early April. So they internally were dealing with the reality of developing a hardware product, which is just intrinsically more difficult than software. There's a lot more components, and you have a lot more, you're dealing with a much longer supply chain. The people at Menlo Park have less control over the final product than they would if it were software.
Right. So let's move on to where it stands in the software realm as of right now, because oftentimes you need that one game or app that bolsters things into the mainstream. How is it going in that whole world?
It's AWOL. People are still looking for it. You know, I think most consumers know what virtual reality is, but they wouldn't necessarily be able to tell you what the Oculus Rift is. They wouldn't necessarily be able to tell you what any of these devices are, HTC Vive or anything from Sony or Samsung, you know, the Gear VR. Like, these are not mainstream products that people know about, right? But on top of it, there isn't really, you know, there is some Pokemon Go-esque game that is going to get everybody interested and excited in virtual reality yet.
So it's put a cloud over things, to say the least. And, you know, developers met up this week. What's the sentiment among them like?
I think, you know, the attitude a year ago among developers, I went to the conference last year, and it was very enthusiastic and almost hyper, right? I mean, there was so much enthusiasm, so much energy, so much excitement. And then the Rift launched. There was confusion about the price as well. They weren't sure how much it would cost when it was ultimately priced at $599. That was a lot more than a lot of people were expecting. And I think that over time, there's been, you know, nobody says that virtual reality isn't going to happen. Everybody has, you know, still enthusiastic about the long-term prospects of VR. And, you know, a lot of the developers I talked to, they're still planning to build for Oculus, but the level of enthusiasm has waned. You know, it's a little bit more cautious. It's a little bit more, you know, pared back.
So what now? How is Oculus trying to reignite enthusiasm for its headset? Anything up its sleeve?
Well, yesterday they launched a bunch of different products that they hoped would kind of reignite that enthusiasm, like you say. So for starters, they put out these Oculus Touch hand controllers. This is the product that the HTC Vive actually bundled with its launch. Mm-hmm. And Oculus was supposed to have it out in the first half of 2016, and they decided to push it back because they wanted to perfect the product. So there is a so that is going to be a device that potentially makes VR more interesting to a broader range of people, because this way you can actually interact with the virtual world that you're in. They also announced a bunch of little tweaks that made the Rift a little bit more competitive with the Vive, and the ability to add an extra sensor and, you know, operate within an entire room. That's new. That's interesting. They're also putting, you know, they also teased a third new virtual reality project or product that they're working on. It's still in the prototype phase, but it's a standalone device. You don't need it to be tethered to a PC, and you don't need it to be tethered to a mobile phone, which is what the, you know, that those are the options available today.
Right.
So they, you know, they're hoping that all these different little tweaks and changes will help make VR more attractive.
All right, we shall see. Deepa, thanks as always.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tanya.
Once again, we've been speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Deepa Seetharaman. For more, you can check out WSJD.com. That'll wrap up the tech news briefing for now. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.